Well, what a year it's been for our lifestyle programs, and not a bad one to finish off 2024. It's Health Naturally with Dennis Stewart. Dennis, welcome, and last one for you for the year, mate.
It is, Mark. It's the last one for another year, and I'll miss bartering with you and bantering with you and discussing and all those sorts of things.
But there is some great news. We've been able to sign you for 2025.
Sign up? Oh, I never sign. I never sign up. My word is as good as signing.
It's a verbal contract. Moving on to the business of the day, though. Last couple of weeks, you've been talking about some herbs that may very well assist with the aging, keeping us, you know, aging well. You've done the ginkgo. We've done the ginseng last week, and the third in that fantastic trilogy, the hawthorn berry today.
Look, I'm going to touch on this herb to finalise our discussion on three of the most important herbs that I consider make a contribution to ageing more successfully. And I could not talk about a better herb to finalise this discussion on the trilogy than the hawthorn berry, because the hawthorn berry is the herb that has a direct relationship to health of the heart and the cardiovascular system.
Final Health Naturally for 2024. Dennis, we've got some calls for you. Ready?
Always.
Are you willing?
Absolutely.
Are you able?
Absolutely.
Good afternoon, Sandra from Warners Bay. You have a skin irritation question for Dennis Soleil.
Yes.
What's happening, Sandra?
Well, every now and again, I don't know whether it's a blood or whatever, but I feel like I need to scratch part of my arms, my legs, my neck, my face, whatever. And it's just getting a bit of a routine type thing.
How long have you been battling it, Sandra?
Oh, probably 12 months.
Okay. Have you had it looked at by your GP?
No, I've never bothered to mention it.
Okay, well, perhaps you should. Look, I'll raise a few things with you. First up, are you taking any medication?
Yes, I do, yes.
Much medication?
No, it's basically cholesterol, blood sugar, etc.
It's always wise, as you've heard me say before, for any of these things that are puzzling, certainly surface things, it's always wise to have a talk with your good pharmacist to see if there is anything coming from the medication that could be contributing to it. I've said that over and over again. Now, look,
I'm listening this time.
Okay. Very rarely is that the case, but it's always wise. And I was going to just mention it, this is my last program for the year, this fact again to all listeners. Whatever you are taking, prescribed by your doctor or over-the-counter material from your pharmacist, please, please ask why you're taking it, what it purports to do, what is the good side, and is there any downside? I think that's very important, regardless of what you do. Now, look, 9 times out of 10, it's not associated with it, but it always is worthwhile. The second thing is, it sounds to me as though there's some allergy factor here that might be contributing. Have you used, I'll ask you a question that might support this, are you using any antihistamines?
Not at the moment, no.
Have you found them useful at all?
Not that I can remember for a long time.
Does the skin...
Anyway, listen, I'm sorry, I've just got... just wanted to ask you a simple question, so...
Yes.
I will do what you said, and I will follow up and talk to the doctor about it.
I think that's wise. I think that's wise.
And I'll say you give me the biggest advice I've had for a while.
I think that's wise.
All right, best of luck with everything, Sandra. 49216216. If you have a question for Dennis today. And Dennis, I think while we've got a bit of a lull here, we might actually get into our third herb that you've on this special series to try and see if we can do something with the ageing process. But the hawthorn berry, this is the last one for today.
Yes.
Why do you feel that it may be useful in combating and resisting ageing?
Okay. People have heard me for many years to make reference to two very authoritative references pertaining to herbs. One of them is the British Herbal Pharmacopoeia that was published in 1983, a joint effort by British doctors, pharmacologists, medical herbalists and plant scientists. Very authoritative document that no one could take issue with. Now, in that particular text, hawthorn berry comes forward very, very positively as a herb for the heart. But that was validated, moreover, in the work of the famous German doctor that I've also mentioned frequently and recommended his writings.
Can I have a guess at the name here?
Yes.
Rudolf Weiss?
Oh, how about that?
Yeah, I've been paying attention.
That's worthy of a postgrad diploma from
Southern Cross. I've been paying attention, don't you worry.
Well done, mate, well done. You'll be able to do this program without my contribution shortly. Well, Rudolf Weiss, the great German doctor who's passed away, of course, was also a great medical herbalist or phytotherapist, as they were called. In that book, the monograph on hawthorn berry is superb. And there, the good doctor refers to hawthorn berry as the herb for the aging heart. And even on that reference, I base my claim that it is a herb that has potential to help the heart deal with some of the ravages of aging. Now, how does it do this? The first thing that it does is have a tonic effect on all aspects of the heart. It helps promote rhythm. It takes the load off the heart muscle. It's gradual in its effect. It is specific as a long-term treatment preventatively for angina pectoris. And also in the pharmacopoeia, it's referred to as being useful in lessening the deposition of plaque on the blood vessel wall. All those, Mark, explain.
Good stuff.
Absolutely. It explains why for many, many, many years I've promoted the herb because of its safety. Now, that's a big point. Because of its safety, it's unlikely to clash with any other cardiovascular medicine that may have been prescribed because it has more nutritional principles in it than pharmaceutical principles. It's slow to achieve its benefit, but long-term in the tonic effect that it has on the heart. Now, do I stand by my words on this? Yes. Every morning or night, I take two tablets of a well-known practitioner brand of hawthorn berry. I believe sincerely that helps me cope with my workload and cope with the problem of having lost my youth and having reached this critical stage. So there's a few things.
Oh, to be fair, it beats the alternative. You've kind of taken the sting out of what was going to be my last question on this berry was taste. But if you take it's tablet format, that's fine.
Yeah, but the interesting thing is, Mark, that hawthorn berry is also used around the world in jams or jellies. So that makes it more of a food than a natural medicine. And that's one of the reasons why my dear wife and myself regularly go to the high country up around the New England area where hawthorn berry at particular times of the year is blossoming and then producing fruit. And over the years, particularly when we were a bit younger, we actually went there and regularly collected the herb. And when I was a manufacturer of herbal medicine, converted it into a fantastic liquid preparation. So it's very safe. It's a very gentle remedy. I love that term that Weiss uses, a gentle remedy. Safe, slow to work, and devoid of any serious adverse effects.
Gentle kind of implies it's not a shock to the system.
Not a shock to the system.
Yeah.
Slow in achieving its objective. That's why I consider it more as a tonic medication and why I see it as a useful preventative agent, giving the heart a bit of encouragement to do a bit better with some nutritional principles, not pharmaceutical principles.
Yeah, it's the tortoise, not the hare, isn't it? It's kind of, imagine it sort of putting its arm around the heart and saying, come on, mate, you can do it. Isaac from Edgeworth, you've got a bit of a general health question for Dennis today. What's your thoughts, Isaac?
Yeah, sure, mate. Been listening for years. Just wanted to see if there's a general, you know, multivitamin, like you were saying with the berry tablet you're taking at night. You know, is there a general thing for all for the gentle, things to take every day or weekly?
Yeah. Isaac, it's a good question. Essentially, our health should come from what we eat. But in a modern Western society, that is sometimes a big call. And when I did my university studies many years ago, we did a subject dealing with human bioscience. And some of the references, and one in particular, put forward the contention that it was very difficult to maintain an optimal level of nutrition through the Western diet, and it was recommended actually that a support should be taken in the regular ingestion of a multivitamin, multi-mineral preparation. Now, I concur with that, even though I strongly recommend that diet comes first and health is founded on that. But I also know that it is becoming increasingly difficult in modern society to ensure that happens, or even the food that we use contains that possibility. So, look, there are numerous products in the marketplace. I'm not going to isolate one or the other, but what I would say is this. You do not need to look for any exotic brand or any one that makes ridiculously outrageous claims. Just look for what I would consider to be a conservative labelled product purporting to offer you a good spectrum of vitamin and mineral supplementation. Obviously, I would promote Australian brands, and those Australian brands necessarily have to comply with the Therapeutic Goods Administration and any claims they make. So I can't be any more explicit than that. They all essentially purport to do the same thing, covering the base of being minimally deficient in nutrition. A good one doesn't need to be taken in huge dosages, always just a minimal dose on the label unless there's other reasons for it. But look for a good brand, and there are some really good brands in the marketplace by well-known manufacturers of nutritional supplements. That's being fair to you and fair to the industry and fair to vitamin mineral supplementation, because you would have heard me say, Isaac, numerously, we take too many things. I have patients coming in to see me with a sugar bag full of supplements. I'm going over the top there, but you know where I'm coming from. That's not necessary to maintain health. That's a waste of money. But a general supplement like I've been talking about, I think is good insurance.
Yeah, great. Thank you.
Thank you, Isaac.
All right, best of luck with everything. And I suppose, Dennis, a sugar bag beats a chaff bag, doesn't it?
It does. Haven't seen that quite yet, but you'd be surprised what I have seen.
Yeah, I bet. We'd do a whole week on that, couldn't we?
Well, we could indeed.
Your weirdest consults. That'd be great.
Overdose.
Look out, it's Dennis Stewart with Health Naturally, last one for 2024. And Dennis, we promised we're going to give you a chance to be a little reflective a bit later on, okay?
Oh, that's nice, Mark.
That's mighty nice of us.
That's lovely.
In the meanwhile, Ray from Merriweather, you have a question for Dennis. What's going on, Ray?
Dennis. I just want to ask you, quite a few years ago, you put me onto that milk thistle.
Yes. Yes.
And I've been taking it, for a few years, and I brought my liver count right down.
Yes.
And I just wonder if there's any about it. I've heard a couple of people get taken off it if they don't drink much.
I think that milk thistle is one of the most useful medicinal herbs to help the liver maintain normal function, which is evidenced by the enzymes in the liver frequently coming back to normal. It's not only used to address liver dysfunction arising from over-ingestion of alcohol, but it's used basically to help the liver do its detoxifying work. It's one of these supplements that I reckon should be taken frequently as part of one's daily supplement routine. It's not only to deal with alcohol problems, it's to ensure adequate, happy liver function at a time when the liver, in my opinion, is being increasingly assaulted by all sorts of toxins that come subtly through the food chain, from colourings, preservative substances, and even some of the medications we take, necessary as they are, can cause the liver enzymes to become elevated. And this is well known. I frequently recommend the milk thistle, or called St. Mary's thistle also. Let me just say, Ray, and I'll only be a moment, milk thistle is perhaps a term that can be confused with what is sometimes called sow thistle. But milk thistle is Solibum marianum. It's not the thistle that we feed to our canaries, as milk thistle sometimes is. There are two milk thistles. One of them is the one you're using, which I prefer to refer to as St. Mary's thistle, or botanically known as Solibum marianum. The milk thistle that's fed to our rabbits and our canaries and our goats and sheep with great help is Sonchus oleracea. That is the milk thistle that grows as a weed, which has potent medicinal properties. No, look, I don't just see milk thistle being used to deal with a particular medical problem, frequently seen just to be associated with alcohol ingestion. I've prescribed it to people, as I've said, with enzymes that are elevated associated with the medication they're taking, and even in my rooms in Cessnock last Tuesday, had a patient whose enzymes have retreated to very significant normality as a result of taking what you call milk thistle, or what is commonly better known as St. Mary's thistle.
It doesn't thin your blood at all, Dennis, does it?
No, no. I've done a lot of reading on milk thistle. I've lectured on it. As far as I'm aware, Ray, and I please don't think I'm boasting when I say this, but as far as I am aware, it was as a result of my teaching and practice many years ago that this herb came into Australia and into supplements, because it was not a traditional herb that was used in Anglo-American herbalism. It was predominantly a herb that was used famously, and still is, in Europe. And so, being influenced at that time by European medical herbalism, I took on board some of the herbs that were the basis of European herbalism, particularly called up in Weiss's literature. That's where the milk thistle came into play, and I've not read anything to indicate that it has any possibility of clashing with blood-thinning medication.
Thank you very much for that, Ray, and good afternoon to Jennifer at Patterson. You have a question on pressure sores. Jennifer, what's happening?
Yes. My brother is in a wheelchair.
Yes.
And he has recently been put into the aged care system.
Yes.
And what I've noticed is that he's getting pressure sores because his leg has to be elevated and he's slipping on this vinyl chair.
Oh, dear, dear.
I have arranged for a proper chair, you know, like those yes. ones that push you in and out, and a like a pillow that will go on that.
Yes.
But I just wondered if there was something he could either take or that I could put on the area to fix it.
Is the area breaking open?
It's not at the moment, but it's friction at the moment,
yes.
and it's going to break.
And that's what worries me, because once you've got what used to be called a bed sore... Yes, hello.
Yeah, look, Jennifer, you've got us on speakerphone. You have to take us off speakerphone, otherwise we're not...
Hello, sorry, I beg your pardon. I don't know why it went to that.
What I was saying is, once it develops into what we used to call a bed sore... And begins to ulcerate, that can become a big problem.
Yes.
But even there, the use of calendula, the herb calendula or great marigold, in a soothing base, a greasy soothing base, can provide both protection and also resistance to ulceration. I have seen ulcers remarkably healed as a result of the application of calendula, as I refer to it, and or the use of honey. Both of those are remarkable for addressing a bed sore that got out of control and began to ulcerate. Remember that calendula ointment and honey ointment specific. But presently what I would say, just to get hold of some calendula cream, or ointment, and just smear it on as a protective device. It's not irritating, far from irritating. It could be soothing. And what I would say is, look, make sure he's using some good doses of vitamin C.
Okay.
Vitamin C is important, and as we get older, we need more and more of it. And if the home or where he's staying is prepared to do it, the regular use of ginger tea is useful in as much that it's a very gentle stimulant to peripheral circulation. In other words, an improvement in blood supply to the region can help the tissue.
As in a cup of tea?
Yeah, in a cup of ginger tea.
Yep.
And put some honey with it. It's a pleasant tea, And you've heard me on this program regularly promote the benefits of improving or promoting peripheral circulation. And as we get older and as we become sedentary, that circulation can slow down. And with that, I believe, controversial as it might sound, with that becomes a greater tendency to experience peripheral lesions.
All right, best of luck with everything there, Jennifer. Thank you so much for your call. This one might be a quick one for us, Dennis. Good afternoon to Donna. You have a question for Dennis today on a book.
Yes. Hi, Dennis.
Hello, Donna.
Donna. Yeah, I'm from the Merriweather area.
Yes.
I was listening to your program last week, and you mentioned a herbal medicine book that you swear by, that you've gained all your knowledge of for many years. And I've forgotten the name of the book, but I'm thinking maybe a good Christmas present for a friend.
It was probably Rudolf Weiss's book entitled Herbal Medicine, but that's a text. It's a little bit too technical and medical for someone who's a layperson. I also have regularly mentioned and stand by it, the book written by the great English herbalist Simon Mills, called The Dictionary of Modern Herbalism. That's a book that I always use first up with my first year students. It's easily read. The medical language in it is not too sophisticated. The book covers a numerous amount of herbal knowledge and gives a good, safe interpretation of how the herb should be used. It's not an easy text to get. The last batch we purchased was from Amazon. It can be readily in your home or house within a couple of days via Amazon, so it can be procured. Have a look around, it might be available. I've promoted it enough, but the problem with books today is the number of bookshops are shutting down. Favour your bookshop, listeners, get them to work and get the text you need. They'll cooperate, I'm sure, but if you have trouble, Simon Mills' text, The Dictionary of Modern Herbalism, you can get it online if you want from Amazon.
2024's Last Health Naturally with Dennis Stewart. And Paul, you're up on the north coast at Kempsey. You've got a point to make on the Hawthornberry there, Paul.
Yeah, g'day, gentlemen. Hope you're both well.
We are, Paul. We are,
Dennis,
indeed.
I was in your rooms in May.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And aside from telling me where I could find some herbs in and around Kempsey that you stumbled on 40-odd years ago.
Yes, I remember. And I did. I can remember that well. I discovered Plantago Major in the streets of Kempsey one afternoon when I was wandering around there trying to fill in time.
Well, look, I haven't been able to fulfil your wishes, mate. I haven't been searching, but it's still in my mind, put it that way.
Good on you.
Dennis, we spoke a lot about Hawthornberry.
Yes.
And you kindly photostated quite a bit of literature on it for me.
Yes.
And I've been on it ever since, to a day.
Yes.
And it's been quite remarkable. For anyone that's suffering from AF, I have for about 12 years.
Yes.
Had a cardioversion in January.
Yes.
Set it back into rhythm.
Yes.
Up until that time, I couldn't go out in the sun for more than 10 minutes.
Yes.
Without my heart racing.
Yes.
Since I've been on a Hawthornberry, I have no side effects whatsoever from the medication.
Good.
Or the supplement, as you call it.
Good.
And I can stand out the sun all day.
Oh, well, how about that? That's great.
And look at the tan you'll have, Paul. Look at the tan you'll have coming into summer.
Look, and the melanomas too. But it's been quite remarkable.
Well, that's
quite remarkable.
Well, that's great, Paul. But in a sense, it doesn't surprise me. But as you know, I take that, and I'll be taking the same preparation that you're taking. And it does help, put it that way. And you've demonstrated that. And it doesn't clash with what other stuff one is taking. Very safe, can be taken long-term, has a regulating effect on very much activity of the heart, and also maintains the healthy function of the arteries, particularly resisting angina, and does assist in promoting regularity of the heart. So you're a good case example, Paul.
Oh, it's been excellent, Dennis, and I'll take this opportunity to thank you for your advice.
Thank you.
It's not the first time you've put me on the straight and narrow.
Okay.
I hope to hear you back on the air again next year.
I hope to do so, Paul.
All right, the final Health Naturally for 2024 with Dennis Stewart. And Dennis, as the year comes to a close, I've actually been informed that next year will be 50 years in practicing herbal medicine. So first of all, what a huge mammoth effort that is. Congratulations ahead of time.
Thank you. And it's absolutely true, absolutely true. And I have enjoyed every moment of it.
So looking back over that almost 50 years, yes. I bet firstly it's gone by in a heartbeat.
Oh, it has, literally by a heartbeat.
There are a couple of highlights that stick out for you?
Look, there are many highlights, but I think one of the most rewarding, satisfying and recurring highlight is being able to address a problem that concerns many young couples. Infertility is a big problem within our society, and despite all the modern advances in IVF procedures, etc., all of which I support, many couples still cannot conceive. And what I've found in my many years of practice, that I have developed a formula, a combination of herbs that historically has helped not a few, but hundreds and hundreds of women conceive. And I brought an article in for you to look at before the program of a young lady that I saw in my rooms recently in the Hunter, who was desperately with her partner, trying to conceive, getting nowhere, offered IVF but couldn't possibly afford it, went on to the formula, and you saw the appreciation that she sent. That is the big point of my highlight, or the big highlight of my life, trying to create life and help young couples have children. I'm a great believer in having children. I have 4 great children, 11 grandchildren, and 3.5 great-grandchildren, or great-great-grandchildren. So, yeah, that's the high point, the formula that I developed for functional infertility.
And obviously, we won't mention the names that are on the card there, not be right, and secondly, I can't remember them. but may I suggest to that young couple that did send you that card, if they're listening, Dennis, that if not a first name, if they get a boy, or a middle name, can I suggest it?
Best not.
Well, I think Dennis is not a bad middle name anyway.
Okay.
But I mean, that's got to be ultimately when you're in a profession that the end game is to sort of help people. When you see that you have been able to help people and make a huge, profound change upon their life, that's got to be the reward.
It is profound. Mm. It is profound when you see a lovely tradie from the Hunter, big guy, big, great guy. I was a tradesman myself, but this guy was huge, and his delightful little wife, when you see them both nearly in tears, that's why I've been in the game, if you want to say that.
Mm. And you've sort of covered, in one respect, both ends today. Of course, obviously, the new life there, and for the rest of us that are approaching the other end, so trying to get us a few extra years.
Well, that's particularly important for you. It's not so important for me because I've already reached the end.
Oh, let's not go that far yet. No,
don't be bashful, Mark. I'm not a teenager. I'm heading for 85.
Well, that's fine. But look, I suppose I need to put a full stop on this here. Next year, 50 years in practice, it's a nice round number.
Yes.
Will this be the final year of both you practicing? And what about when it comes to doing this program? Because I've got a 10-year contract lined up. All you're going to do is sign the bloody thing.
I have to finish off a textbook. A chap that listens to our program, Dear Danny, who lives on the Atherton, who'll be listening to the program up there at this moment, Danny has been waiting for years to put together the text after I have completed looking at it. So one of the things I'll set my sails to, regardless of what else I do next year, is the writing of the book, and that'll be my final legacy, if you like, to the profession. And that'll be it, but what happens outside of that, we'll see.
We look forward to hearing it. So you'll be here for one more year as well.
I'm looking forward to being on the program, having a good time with you and the other lovely ladies that interview me, and enjoy practice.
I've got 10 seconds. There's only one thing that you must do. You're not allowed to leave. We won't let you leave until you bring in that promised photo from you protesting in the early 70s, Vietnam War, long hair and everything.
I'm proud to be associated with that.
You've been promising that for like eons now.
I'm proud to be associated with that. And I'll ensure that you get verification of it.
First week next year, can you do it?
No, not first week. I've got a reputation to maintain.
He'll have both butt cheeks out the door before he brings it in. Dennis, it's always a pleasure. Enjoy your Christmas and New Year period.
Thank you, Mark.
And we'll catch you after Australia Day in 2025.
Thank you, Mark.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.